Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs. Because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today we open our ears and our hearts.
Quoting the 2012 movie, "Blue is not so pink." How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
Okay, this is the quote of the day. Happiness does not spring from reason, but from imagination.
This is the soundtrack, the soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive, let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time, your story's in the sound tonight. I care about the human being. I care about the human being.
Very good, my friend. And before we delve into your story, we'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what role do you play at the university?
Sure. I am a fourth-year French student, French major. So I've been here for 4 years, and I've been working on my undergraduate French degree. Recently returned from France, which was really good, and I'm hoping to graduate this year.
Okay, why don't you choose what we'll call you in this program? It can be your name, your alias, and name of an animal, whatever you want.
Sure, you can call me Baron.
Baron?
Yeah, that works.
Perfect. So for all our listeners, this is the voice of Baron. And my friend, welcome to the soundtrack.
Thank you.
We always start the podcast with the question of the previous guest. The previous guest didn't know you were coming or who was coming, and the question from Jessie Messi, who was her nickname, is, if you could live your life again from the beginning, what is the main thing you will do differently and why?
I think a lot of people think or say that they wouldn't do anything differently because it would bring them to where they are now and couldn't imagine being anybody different. But if I had to choose, I would say not giving up on God would be what I would do. I'd go back and I'd stop myself from falling out of faith.
Any faith?
Yeah, any faith. Anything that I believed, I would, that's what I would tell myself, I think.
Yeah. And if I can add something, take care, in my case, take care more of my mental health.
Yeah.
So many stress for my life.
Ah, listen, me too, brother.
Roots and origins.
Okay, brother. So to start, tell us a little bit about your family roots and where did you grow up?
Sure. So I was born here in Canada. I grew up in Scarborough, over the east side of Toronto. And my family, half my family is Italian. The other half is Dutch, from Amsterdam. And so I grew up with a very kind of Roman Catholic house on my mom's side, because it's an Italian house.
Impossible.
And a very studious kind of intellectual side on my dad's side. My grandfather, you know, was the kind of person who had 4 different degrees and spoke 8 different languages. And so my dad and that side of my family, the Dutch side, was always very, very like that, you know. Yeah.
Too many places to call home, huh?
Lots, but I didn't know any of them really until the last couple of years or so. I really just stayed in Canada. A lot of my family was here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because of that, what is home to you? What is a place? Is it a feeling? Is it people?
That's a good question. I think home to me is my wife. Mm-hmm. I think home to me is my closest friends. I had a difficult upbringing. You know, everybody goes through their challenges.
Absolutely.
But I think I learned along the way that you can choose your family too. You know, you can choose the people close to you. And so I think that's what's home for me.
Yeah. That's usually your partner and friends. The family that you choose.
That's right. Yeah.
Definitely. But let's go back a little bit to the childhood when you were at that stage in your life. Is there any type of sound that you reminded the most? And what would it be? Take us with your imagination.
Sound. Trying to think as far back as I can. I think I remember the sound of when I was growing up. When I was very little, my dad loved video games when he was younger too. And so he got this joystick, the old school joysticks, and we had this tiny little TV on the counter in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was a Pac-Man joystick.
Yeah.
And so I just remember the sound of the I can't remember what system it was on there. I think it was just a joystick.
Atari 26.
We did have an Atari, but I think it's just the sound of the game starting up.
Yeah,
I remember my dad taught me to love video games since I was like very little. So,
and are you right now a video gamer?
Unfortunately,
yeah. It takes up too much of my time.
Favorite one?
Right now I am,
because you are into stages, right? So for a certain time you are like, I don't know, Assassin's Creed or
yeah. I mean, I used to play a lot of that when I was a teenager. I think now I'm not gaming as much because the university life takes its toll. I don't know. A lot of things, really. I'm all over the place when it comes to the game.
You are not a fan of MAA specific. But besides the video games and the Sound of the Batman game, when you were a child, you are worried only wake up, eating, playing,
then go to
bed.
Yep.
Best stage in life.
I agree.
What type of food? Food is something that connects us to home.
Of course, yeah.
What flavor or what dish? You have various reasons wrong. Options to pick up. What memories do you hold in that flavor and which one is it?
Yeah, so a lot of my childhood, I spent a lot of it at my grandparents' house, my Italian grandparents. Mm-hmm. So my nonno, we call it. And so I spent most of my childhood growing up at their house. I was always over at their house. And so whether it was, we have this dried meat, it's called supersciutto. It's kind of like prosciutto a little bit, but it's dried. And you kind of would tie it up and you'd hang it up in the cellar downstairs. My grandfather used to do it at home. So my grandfather, he used to make, you know, homemade wine and homemade meat and all these things.
Yep.
And so we were kind of spoiled growing up over there. And, you know, with gelato or my nonna's like homemade meatballs, you know, whenever I go home to Scarborough and I have that food, nothing can compare. It's just, you get the warm feeling, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Childhood and early connections.
of those childhood memories. Which one? No matter how simple it might seem, it's one that you hold like dear for you, and why?
I spent a lot of time with my father when I was small. He really wanted to make sure that we did a lot of different things so that we were exposed to all the different things that life could offer. And so he used to take us fishing a lot. He used to take me fishing when I was little. And I remember he used to drive a Jeep Patriot, which coincidentally was also my first car when I got. And he used to take us on these overnight fishing trips sometimes. And so we drove up one day, an hour or two out of Toronto. And there was a little stream just downstream from a dam. And all of the salmon would spawn there. So in spawning season, you could see them jumping out of the water. And so he'd take us downstream there to where you could catch catfish. And just little catfish. But he took us up one day, and me and a friend of mine, when we were little, we stayed the night in the Jeep. We just put the seats down and put a mattress in there and slept overnight and woke up the next morning. My dad caught this catfish, and I remember him taking it out of the water. And, you have to be careful because the whiskers are poisonous.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so you have to wear gloves to take the hook out, because if the whiskers get you, doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So I remember him with two pairs of gloves on, trying to get this hook out of this catfish that was only about a foot long. That's not too long. And I just remember that moment fondly, because even now I really enjoy fishing. Yeah. And my dad taught me how.
So being excited for the catfish, but being worried about the whisk.
Yeah, in the back of the Jeep with the pliers, trying to figure it out. Yeah, that was a good moment.
And I think all your family members made impact in your life. But
for sure,
it seems like your father had a special connection with you, even if he's not the person who I'm asking for. When you are a child, you learn many values and many principles, and they last basically forever, right? And so which one do you recall and from who you learned about this principle or value?
So I think one of the values that I learned was from my mother. And in the context, it was about fighting, like physically fighting, yeah. Right? She raised my sister and I not to be violent.
Okay.
Right? And so she taught us gentleness and kindness, but she taught me that, you are going to run into people in your life that will want to pick on you and hurt you, and whether that's with their fists or with their words.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she taught me was, never start a fight, but always be the person to finish it. So if somebody picks a fight with you, you put an end to it, whether that's them throwing insults at you or, physically. Not to start negativity, but not to allow negativity to continue to happen around you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's stuck with me.
Well, sure. Because it's very smart.
I think it's a good rule.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. What about a friend? Is there any friend in that is a part of your life that you remember? And what do you remember about this person?
Sure, yeah. So I had a good friend growing up. We met in Cubs, which is like Boy Scouts, but for really young children, even before Boy Scouts. And so we met there. And through him, I met another friend of mine who we're all still friends to this day. But he, more in the recent stages of my life, has gotten to be a very important person to me. He was my best man at my wedding. And he's the person that, you're having a rough day, you can give him a call and go, hey, I need to go have a beer and just talk, and he'll always be there. And so he's holds a special place in my heart.
That type of friend that if you don't want him to speak, he won't.
Yeah, that's right. And if you need him, he's there. You don't get too many of those in life.
Chosen family.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So because you belonged in a part of your life but for Boy Scouts or Cubs and everything, I also did that part, and I keep an amulet.
Oh, cool.
Could be physically or invisible. Do you have anything like that? And or there is something that guides you and you go there every time you make to just like a reinforce?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think, another thing my father did a lot was he taught me to read when I was really young, and the power of words. And growing up, you know, when I was a teenager, adult, and going through all the stages of life, I found that writing and reading were things that I was strong at and things that helped me process the things I was dealing with.
Yeah.
So in high school, I'd write poetry or rap because I was into rap. I was a teenager.
You should.
And even this day, I write, write short stories, or I'm trying to write a novel now. And that's always given me some comfort. You know, I've held on to that.
Should we know about that novel eventually?
I hope so, but not quite yet. I'm still working on it.
How do you make the decision to write a novel?
A lot of self-doubt and a lot of self-pity until enough people tell you, hey, I think you're pretty good at this. And you take them seriously one day. But also, on a more serious note, a lot of prayer, at least for me. Right now, a lot of my guiding light, it comes from God. And a lot of, growing up, writing was kind of an outlet of pain for me. You know, when I felt pain, I would write. And so a lot of the things that I wrote would be very depressing or dark. And it's only now at this point in my life that I'm starting to put my talents towards something positive, to try to write for the sake of creativity and imagination and these things. So
passions and personal energy.
Yeah, you don't take like writing just like an exorcism, but as a retreat for you.
Yeah, for sure.
If I wanna keep myself healthy, especially in this fast-paced nature of the college, right?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Besides that, is there anything else that you do when you need to relax?
When I need to relax, sometimes I just like to be outside. I just like to be, no noise, just no phone. Just kind of sitting and thinking. Some of that is sometimes prayer, asking God for the answers that I don't have. And sometimes it's just processing. We deal with so many things as students, especially as mature students as well.
Mm-hmm.
The stress of assignments, and then you have, I have to take my car to the shop, and I have to get groceries, and I have to go to my job, and these things can overwhelm you very quickly and get to a point where you can't handle it anymore. And so just sitting quietly with my own thoughts, sometimes I just need a good hour even.
Yeah.
Just to think about the events of the day and try to find some peace with what I couldn't change, and hope that God reveals the path for me to choose. And
He's always there.
Always. That's what I believe anyway.
Even if there is a joy time or a nostalgia.
Yeah, joy, nostalgia, even pain. He teaches us things in our pain. That's what I believe, yeah.
Absolutely. It cannot be just one.
No.
Because he's everything.
Yeah.
Basically. What about joy? Is there any, for simple, it might be a pleasure that never fails to bring your smile in your life.
Some pleasure. I mean, my first couple of years of university, I was not, I'd been out of school for quite a long time, almost 10 years, 8 years. And so I was very not accustomed to the amount of work I would need to do. A lot of late nights, lots of studying. And so when I got really stressed out and I just couldn't handle it, I retreated into food.
You know, when I was having a really bad day, I would go order a pizza.
Yep.
And I'd just take it home and I'd put on my favorite show and turn off all the lights and just eat pizza by myself. Yep. Just watching a show in my room. That's just, you know.
And then I'm bread and yeah.
That's what I used to do. Now, if I have a whole pizza, I can't walk.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like, oh, too much. Yeah, because you're in a good shape now.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. Thank you.
Let's move to the other side.
Sure, yeah.
Because we don't only have joy and happiness. We have fears and sadness.
Of course, yeah.
Only if you feel comfortable sharing, what are you afraid of and how have you learned to live with that fear?
I think I am afraid the most of not finding purpose. And I think a lot of people are afraid of this. I think when things happen in life that you're not expecting, they sometimes throw you off the path. You know, you think that you're going to do this for a job when you get older, or you think you want to study to become a teacher, let's say. And then things happen, and then all of a sudden you're not so sure anymore. And you know, the school system and our friends and our family put a lot of pressure on us to, you know, oh, what are you gonna do? You know, what are you gonna do for work? Where are you gonna go? Who are you gonna be? And we don't have those answers all the time. And I can't say that I have found a solution to feeling that way, but the best solution I have found is learning how to let things go. Mm-hmm. I went through a lot of this struggle this semester, actually, with crisis of purpose and, you know, new things in my life appearing that changed my preconceived ideas of what I wanted to be after I finished my undergraduate degree. And the only way I was able to compartmentalize that was maybe I just can't know right now. You know, maybe that's not for me to figure out until later, and just learning how to be okay with not having the answers.
And probably that's the hardest part, because that question has different answer in different stages in your life.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wouldn't have had the same answer if you asked me 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. I think I would have had a very different answer for you.
Yeah.
The University Experience.
Well, you shared that you have like a Dutch and Italian background.
Yeah, right.
You are very familiar to deal with different cultures. So then you came to Laurier and you found this like mosaic of different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, how has encountering so many different life experiences here enriched your own history?
Yeah, I mean, for example, yes, I'm a half Dutch, but really, I didn't learn too much about my Dutch roots until I was starting my first year of university and meeting my wife, because she's also Dutch. She was raised in Holland, and different to me, she was in Holland until she was 18 before she came to Canada. So she had a lot more, you know, Dutch culture in her. Through meeting her, for sure, and traveling to Holland and reconnecting with those parts of my family's history were helpful for me to for self-identity, for understanding, you know, some of the more little things in my own culture. But also, like you said, there's a mosaic of there's a plethora of different people and different cultures and backgrounds and stories. And I think that's the most important part of university. I mean, you meet people, you know, students from India or exchange students from France, or you participate in a program and somebody tries to teach you a few words of their language in Chinese or Mandarin. All of these things were really helpful to me to just know kind of what's out there. I mean, it's not just these people coming to Canada. You know, you can go to these places too and experience and learn things about the way other people live. Yeah.
And having experienced all these different cultures and people have helped in any way to see anything or different things completely differently?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the past year was the most influential for me. I had the privilege of spending my third year abroad as a part of Laurier's international exchange program.
Well, some of your friends missed you, including me.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Don't forget that.
But I think that that was probably one of the best things I did while I was here. It's the reason I came here. It gives you perspective. The world is always out there, but until you gain that perspective, you don't really know what it has to offer. And you go to a place and you learn how they live and how they eat and when they eat and how they go out and what they talk about and these kind of things. And you kind of, sometimes, if you're as lucky as I was, you fall in love with certain parts of a culture that you didn't know existed. But also when you come back, you know, you come back to Canada, I realized there's a lot of things here that I was very used to that don't seem as picturesque to me anymore. You know, the illusion is gone. Mm-hmm. And I think that is sad in one way, because your vision of what home looks like changes a lot. But also it makes you more aware to what you like and what you don't, and seeing if a place is right for you, or maybe finding the place you're supposed to be. So I think that that's, I think that last year was really important for me.
Oh, definitely. And especially when you learn that you shouldn't take anything for granted.
No, I mean, no, absolutely.
Because meaning change like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I won't get into politics, but if you look at the state of the world right now, it's becoming quite a scary place. And doing anything that you can to get some clarity as to what your place is in this world is extremely valuable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like politics is in a certain way similar to writing a novel. You hesitate if you are going to be enough. But then you realize that anyone has a political opinion.
Sure.
Nothing related to political parties, but a political opinion.
No, I mean, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm a very political person. I don't watch the news very much. I read about things after they happen online, kind of. But I still think that I would say that I have fairly strong political opinions about specific things, but these come from my experience in life, you know, and you can't form those opinions if you don't go out there and see, what life has to offer. And sometimes that means trying and, exploring a different country or talking to different people.
A couple of episodes ago, we have this young woman from Myanmar. And she has a very strong religion opinion, right?
Okay.
A very beautiful one. And she has this motto like, don't tell me what your religion is, but show me what your religion does on your life.
Mm.
And it seems to me the same as a political opinion. I mean, don't take me wrong. I don't care about your political opinion, but I want you to show what your political opinion makes you do with other people, because
right.
I've seen this racism situation, discrimination situation, not only with me but with anyone, and it doesn't have to be real. I shouldn't trust what they say about me or say about others, but I need to understand what they think in order to see, hey, look, maybe you are seeing this in a different way.
Well, understanding is important, right? I mean, I think it's a lot of the reason why we come to university in the first place. You know, you learn a lot of things here in your courses, sure, of course. And that provides you academic perspective, which sometimes helps, debates concerning philosophy or politics. But the most valuable thing is people. And, you have exchange students from other countries. You have professors with unique opinions on things or unique perspectives on subject matter. And all these things, like you said, they allow you to Understand people that you might not necessarily agree with, but you need to understand them in order to kind of get why it is they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's you are more than right. We have had people here from so many parts in the world, like Brazil, Portugal, Turkey, former Yugoslavia.
Yeah, pick a country.
Yeah, pick one. Latin America, and it's not about the boundaries, or it's not about a flag. It's about human being, and that's what we do in this show. Try to give voice for anyone.
The song of your life.
Well, we are getting close to the heart of the program, which is a song that you have chosen, right?
Yeah.
A song that defines your life at this very moment. So before you say the name, can you tell us what moment or what feeling or what idea this piece of music captures for you?
Sure. So this song is not something I would typically listen to, nor is the artist per se. But when I listen to it, I think about the person that I was when I, going back to, when I didn't believe in God for a time. And I think about that person and the thoughts that went through my head when I was young, and the person I am now. And I understand the younger me better by listening to the song, because I am older and because these things have happened to me and I can look back. But it opens up feelings of, I guess, nostalgia of how I was when I was younger, but an understanding of why I did the things I did,
Yeah.
I think that helps. Yeah.
Well, honestly, I'm feeling that the question of Jesse Messi about living your life again suits very, very good thing. Because I agree with you. I would probably won't change too much because this is who I am because right. of my mistakes, because of my achievements. But sometimes you are very hard at yourself.
You're the most hard on yourself, right?
Harder than anyone.
Of course, yeah. I think everyone is.
Really? Okay.
I think everybody's harder on themselves than they are on other people.
Yeah, but when you have this, like, perfectionism in your head, like, I was taught in the way that if you don't do it perfect, you fail.
Yeah, I understand.
And it's not like that. And
no,
it takes time. After I became 18, I have been working, trying to get rid of all the garbage in my head. And
yeah. I mean, it takes a lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the song.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. This piece of song that you chose, which until now might have been a personal treasure for you, will not longer be played only for you. From now on, it'll have an audience that upon hearing it will celebrate with you this exact moment in your life. It will be a reminder for all of us about your own story, brother.
Thank you.
So what's an instead?
It's called Man in the Sky, and it's by a rapper named Tom McDonald. He comes out with a lot of kind of polarizing songs, but this song is talking about God, but it's talking about disbelief in God and our perceptions of God, and that in the end everything will be okay because of God. And so it kind of mixes all of those parts of me together. It's a very simple song, but it's catchy, and if you listen to the lyrics, then maybe it can touch you as well.
Absolutely. Sometimes I ask how there are many people so skilled to teach you in short words in a song how many different valuable things, like connect with God, connect with life, okay, in a simple way. Now I don't have that skill.
Well, I mean, I think that, it's based on your experiences. A song means something different to everyone. Some people might listen to this song and not feel anything.
And some people might listen to it and feel or hear what I hear when I listen to it. And yeah, I think that's just the way music is.
Or doesn't make any impact in your life today.
Today, maybe.
But
yeah, sure. Different ages.
Imagine that this song is the soundtrack of a chapter in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What would you title this chapter?
Finding God to find myself.
Oh man, when is the novel be finished? I want to read a version.
Although the novel's not an autobiography, but maybe one day I can write one.
But God must be over there. He owed a novel.
Well, he certainly influences the words I put down.
That's the way he is.
But yeah.
A look to the future.
Okay, we are very, very close to end up. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Thinking about the future you want to build here at Laurier and beyond, what message or value would you most like to project and leave as a legacy in our community?
I think when there's a part of yourself that feels doubt or you're questioning life or something, what you're doing maybe, listen to it. I think that when signs present themselves, you know, when you're feeling a lot of anxiety about something and it keeps bothering you, or you can't go to sleep at night, or something stresses you out or something makes you worry, listen to it, because I believe that it's a sign that, you know, someone bigger than you is trying to tell you something. Or maybe you're trying to tell yourself something, but we're so busy that we don't listen. And when we don't listen to those signs, we sometimes keep doing the things that make us miserable. So I think keep an ear out for signs that you're not on the right path, and you know, he'll help you find the right one.
It'll teach you a lot of things when you listen to it.
I think we're moving so much, in the modern world, that we often don't stop to listen. You know, we don't stop to listen to ourselves, or you know, the words on the wind. You know, like ideas that come. We're just too busy, and we let that destroy us sometimes, especially some of the people coming up today, you know, some of my generation or the generation after me, you know.
Well, look at you, keeping me and our audience listening attentive to your story.
Well, I hope so.
Let's go many years from now.
Sure.
What would you like people to remember about you? What mark would you like to leave in the heart of those who know you?
I think that's a hard one for me. Because I think about that a lot, but I think I push it down a lot too. I think what I would want people to remember is how imperfect I was, you know, and but that what I loved with everything I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, I don't believe that I'm going to be somebody that changes the world, is a household name that everybody knows, but I want the people that know me to remember to never doubt what I felt for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Well, I became also emotional, because it's not just being imperfect. And the reason we acknowledge that is because we also, well, in my case, I would also like people to remember that despite being imperfect, how hard I worked to be a better man.
Yeah.
A better person. And I think, I hope we agree in this, but the person you have and I have beside is like the source of many good things, like motivation and well.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. You know, when everyone's gone one day, all that they want is to be remembered in some way. I just want the people that I leave behind to remember, like, the love. I think that's all, that's the only thing that's really important.
Yeah,
it's corny.
but
it's true.
Yeah, it comes from the bottom of your heart, so it's amazing. He's like gold.
The chain question and the gift.
Well, brother, it's been an honor to hear one of the songs from the soundtrack of your life. And before closing the circle and connect your story with the one coming next week.
Yeah.
What question would you like to ask the next guest to get a glimpse into their life?
What question would I like to ask? When you look at yourself, do you think you know who you are? And just, you know, to think about, you know, what you think you know, what everybody, you know, a lot of people tell you who you are, and there's your perception of who you think you are. But when you look in the mirror, do you really know who that person is that's looking back at you? Because some people take a lifetime to figure that out. But if you start thinking about it, when you're younger, maybe, maybe it can help.
Yeah. Or there are people thinking they know until you ask this question.
Maybe. And I hope they figure it out too.
Amigo, I have a small gift for you.
Oh,
and this is with a short message saying that thank you for your vulnerability.
No, thank you very much.
And for sharing your essence with us. This is a tangible reminder of this day, brother. Thank you very much.
Perfect. I'll put it on my table.
And for all our audience, remember that each person who crosses your path carries with them a complex story and a unique soundtrack. Let us continue to listen with curiosity and celebrate the richness that each of us brings to this campus. You are the notes that make up Laurier Symphony, brother. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, yeah.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success, and also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, the best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
I hear you loud. I hear you clear. Every beat, every voice in here. Turn it up, let the moon. Every turn, every fire, every burn. I'm here for the high.